Welcome to another episode of the Record of Lodoss War OVA Rewatch Podcast. My name is Alan.
And my name is Kate. We run ReverseThieves.com. That's where you can find all of our other podcasts as well as blog posts every week.
And if you have any comments about the podcast or your memories of Lodoss War, you can contact us on Twitter. My name is HisuiRT.
I'm NarutakiRT, and we also have Reverse Thieves on Twitter.
And if you just want to send us an email or maybe an audio file that we can play, you can send it to ReverseThieves@gmail.com.
Okay, so welcome to our final Lodoss podcast. And here, since we've wrapped up talking about the anime itself, just like our Zero episode, this is our time to reflect on how we feel about the anime now after rewatching it after so long, and how does it compare to our original memories of it, and answer some questions and just throw in any final thoughts we have about the series.
I would like to see how we look at the shows differently. I feel this is also an interesting one because, well, first one was Cowboy Bebop, which I think it would have been shocking if we thought it didn't stand up. And I feel Slayers was never that widely held as anything but fun. Whereas I feel, if anything, of the rewatches we've done so far, I feel like a lot of people have soured on Lodoss. I always remember that Anime World Order where Daryl was so insistent that, like, if you went back and watched Lodoss, it wouldn't hold up as well as it does. And then I feel, that's not everybody's opinion, but I do feel like it's the first one we've done where I've heard that more than a few times.
And it is an interesting question of not only is this as good as I remember it, but would I recommend it to a new fan or something? Because this is a show, unlike Slayers, I think, that is one of those in the 90s, it was required viewing and really recommended. You want to know what anime is, or you want to get into anime, or you're wondering about it? Here, this is great.
I remember when we did our first panel at Anime Recruitment, this was one of the titles that was on there for the more fantasy-oriented Western fandom people, so I think it is worth examining because of that.
And I do think it is really interesting that the Western-style fantasy is something that we don't really see a lot of in anime in the modern day. They have really their own tropes and things that they're playing off of now, and this is one of those ones that feels so Western influenced. I did really enjoy that still about this OVA.
I feel like it's so gone over to isekai type stories, but like you said, usually in a very Japanese style either game world or Japanese style fantasy world. And obviously a lot of those Japanese style fantasy worlds have Western fantasy influences, but they've really kind of branched off and become their own animal at this point, where I don't think like one comparison can be made anymore.
As we consistently talked about in every single episode of the rewatch, there's a big D&D element to this. So I don't feel as though modern fantasy anime is playing off of D&D. It's, like you said, out. It's had now like 20 years to develop its own world and own ideas. So while it might have like started from a similar place, it has so much of its own parts to it, so that's what it's like drawing on more of. It's one of those things where if you made Lodoss today, it wouldn't look the same, I don't think.
I mean, you can even look at a good example of that, which is Grand Crest War, which came out after Lodoss, and you can kind of see elements, since it's, you know, based on a game line made by the same people who made Sword World. And so you see the elements of that same company, but you also see kind of a bit of that drift towards the more Japanese style of fantasy. So even the same people are kind of making a slightly different product at this point in time.
It'll be very interesting to see what the novel for the anniversary that's coming out, you know, that they announced, because it's supposed to be a return to this theoretically, like, this style. And, of course, there's a bunch of books in the line that I don't know what happens in them, and they were never made into anime. So I guess it's interesting to see that there is still, this world still exists, and people still put imagination into it and still play in it. I think we mentioned in the Zero episode that, you know, there's still, like, a Lotus MMORPG, and it hasn't completely gone away. It just doesn't feel as though it's the forefront of what is getting made. Obviously, so much of it doesn't look like this anymore. I also kind of wonder if they might make more anime, just because they did announce this anniversary project, but that's the anniversary of the novel, and the anniversary for the anime itself is like a couple years out. So I'm like, oh, maybe they would do some sort of anniversary version.
And it is worth noting that while we're recording this, it is the week where they just announced a brand new Slayers novel with the Gowry Amelia timeline, or part of the story, not the Lina Naga part of the story. And they just announced a new Dirty Pair novel. So it does seem like, you know, just like the West, there is this, hey, let's dig out these popular series that don't really have, like, full parallels in the modern age, and see if we can maybe get some nostalgia money and maybe some new fans.
I think there's potential for there to be something new soon. But at the same time, I did write down that I don't know how much we really mentioned this in the Zero episode, but there is a bunch of anime set in the Lotos/Lotos-adjacent world, and all of it's bad. Chronicles of the Heroic Knight is okay sometimes. The best thing is Lotos Island in there, which is just a omake section. And then everything else is just really bad. So even though I kind of want some more Lotos anime, I'm also afraid of what that would be and probably wouldn't want it anyway.
Kate, you're judging Lumi the Rune Soldier before even watching it.
I mean, it was like Legend of Cristania or whatever, which was just like incomprehensible nonsense, bad.
Wasn't it like Ashram and Pyrotes go to like some other island and he gets cursed and they're trying to colonize there with dark elves and mom yum yum?
I can't even remember. I put it all out of my mind. We talked about it and then we didn't answer it, but how does it hold up? We said that that was the question and now we have to come to it, I suppose.
So, I feel like with a lot more anime, doing the blog for like over 10 years now, I see a lot more faults in Lotos than when I first watched it as a kid or watched it in college. But I do appreciate a lot of the things that it does. It tickles me a lot to now know its full history and how it started out as replays. Like, I'd always kind of just imagined it, but never actually thought it was. That was an interesting revelation. I'm not sure I watched it the same way that I did in the past, and I think I've gotten different things out of it. We'll discuss it when we go back and forth, because I don't think it's a simple answer. But I feel that parts of it have held up and other parts have not, and then just my approach in it in a lot of ways has changed.
So I think you summed it up pretty well, Al. I definitely see that this is less well animated than I remember it to be. It has some great parts in that respect. There's some really well done stuff, and of course the opening is very beautiful and
And sometimes I think they do a lot more with less in some creative ways. And sometimes they do a lot less with less.
Yeah. But I do feel like the character designs, the still frames, have like a timeless quality to them. Almost like a storybook or a fairy tale quality that I feel like holds up. I still really liked that about the series.
At points it almost seemed like it was overly ambitious and then they had to like rein it in. But they had already kind of set maybe the bar a little too high at points, because there are certain points where they just went all out with character design, when they went all out with certain sequences, and you just get the feeling that they realized, ooh, maybe we placed that bar a little too high for ourselves.
And the other thing that I think is very different for me watching it now is that how much, as a person watching it, how much I put into the characters and who they were. I mean, I do think that they show you who they are in brevity, but it's kind of one of those symptoms of a lot of 90s OVAs, I think, where you didn't have as much to go on as you would have liked, so you kind of like what I call fan wank, like the whole more about the characters and like the depth of who they are than is necessarily shown in the actual text.
And in your defense, Kate, I will say that this is based on a much larger franchise with characters who have had a bunch of different iterations and probably have a wealth of information in other material. So I think at points you might have been picking up on things that were only hinted at or maybe were in other material. And then at times, like you said, it is fan wank. It's you maybe seeing or sensing some of that extra depth. And then maybe there's like 10% that you're missing, or let's be generous, 30%. And then you're filling in that other 70% in your mind. So I don't feel like it's totally imagined or totally that there was not any other dimensions to these characters, but let's also not attribute some mental construct and fanon to teenage Kate.
I think about how I look at new shows now and what I look for in character story, and just sort of if I were to graft how I approach something now onto that, I think there is a little bit of disparity for me, because obviously I have a lot of nostalgia for this series and I still really like it. So you can't really go back and watch it fresh with how you would watch it right now. So it's all kind of conjecture, but I just feel like I don't think I would be as generous about the character development in this story if I was watching this and it was like a brand new show. And so it just reminds me, though, of kind of a different place and a different time, because there were so many OVAs that you did do this with. It wasn't just Lodos. There was a lot of things that I think you saw people doing that with, and myself included in that. So I just thought that was very interesting. Or like, you know, how deeply I felt the romances in this show, where it's like, I still enjoyed it for sure, but I don't think that got as like much feels as I did in my early days.
Going back, I remember it being so much more of an ensemble cast where, man, is it the Parn and Deedlit show and some NPCs that tag along at points.
Yeah, I did not realize how much Ato disappears completely from this story.
I remember, because we used to joke about it, but I remember Gim, Woodchuck, and Slain being much more prominent, where at times they are not that far from Ato. I mean, Ato definitely is the bottom of the rung when it comes to the party. Like I said, me and my friends in college made fun of that, but the rest of the group kinda is not that far off from him.
So I think final question is, would you recommend this to a new fan? Would you say, hey, you should check out Lodos, you know, if you like fantasy stuff. Is it good enough, or is it really a nostalgia watch at this point? Or if you're into older...
I think you kind of hit it on in the beginning. It does scratch a very specific fantasy itch that I still feel like a lot of, maybe even, I'll straight out say, better fantasy anime don't. Because there's some really good fantasy anime out there that I'd recommend. But this has a very D&D niche that kind of gets supplanted more by MMO, RPG, and like Final Fantasy influenced games, which have a different feel. I feel like the type of fantasy fan who just likes fantasy settings, and of which case there are a lot of titles that you can recommend and maybe much more up their alley. But this, especially after reading the novels, just has that feeling of the party going in there and clearing dungeons, righting wrongs, fighting the big boss that I feel like a lot of other anime don't. I kind of, for a certain type of fan, wish they had done more of the novels, or hope that in the future they do more of the novels, because the book, from reading the book, fills that niche even more, because the party is much more prominent. You do get a little more of a D&D feel.
Or even more of one. Yeah, yeah. I would also recommend the book. I really liked the book, and it adds a lot to this story that you don't get in the anime. And some of the characters are a little bit different. And also, not that it's ever gone away, and maybe it's just because of what I've been doing lately, but it feels like D&D is having a moment right now, or it's sort of in this upward swing of people really being into it. And so maybe it is also a good time for this if you were gonna check it out for the first time, you know, because it seems to be sort of what people are thinking about right now.
I was just listening to All Geeks Considered, and they had this roundtable about events from the last Gen Con. And, you know, Jared and some of the other guys and Vinny were talking about how D&D 5th edition really seems to have reinvigorated. 3rd edition is very far away, and people have much more mixed feelings about it. And 4th had some interesting ideas, but kind of soured people. But 5th really seems to have reinvigorated a lot of the fandom and brought in some new people. And I feel with you watching Critical Role and stuff, there's a lot more of this online community that's been enjoying playing D&D and some other games like that. So that's the kind of person I'd recommend it to. Somebody who's still heavy into the tabletop, and maybe it's still a good bridge for that kind of person.
Yeah, and having played D&D now, as opposed to the first time or the first many times that I watched Lodos, I feel like, I don't know if I get something different out of it, but it does make me, or it did make me really want to play. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt as though it helped kind of energize me to really want to get, knowing that it's based on that, and sort of made me want to play even more. So
I will say, I think this one is the series I think that we've been the most critical of so far, of the rewatches. I think we also got a lot of good analysis out of it in a way that wasn't just kind of snarky internet, your childhood memories are dumb and the shows you like are dumb, and now you should have sophisticated people tastes. I think we were still able to get a lot of fun out of it, even if we were able to also kind of give a critical look to the series, which I think these rewatches is just as important as seeing a series that holds up like Cowboy Bebop. And so I think I got a lot out of it. And if nothing else, it got us to read the novel, which I think was really fun.
Yeah, I still really enjoyed it. I said at the beginning that there was no way I was going to be able to separate my nostalgia for the series from me rewatching it, and I wasn't even going to try to do that. So I kind of knew that I was going to come out the other side of this still enjoying it. So that's where I am. I still really had a great time watching it, even when it was dumb. And I agree about, like, it made me read the novel, and that was a really great experience. So I will continue to have wonderful memories about Lodos. Even if they make more bad anime about it, I'll still have this.
And if nothing else, I will continue to have my wallpaper on my computer that is Saber and Dietlit drawn by the guy who drew Saber. So, you know, Dietlit and Puritas will live on for many reasons.
Al, I'm so excited to play D&D. Has it been like a year?
Yeah, no. I would say at least a year.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I'm super excited because all I've been doing lately is like listening to Critical Role and watching Lodos and playing RPGs, and I really somehow need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad that we're gonna, even if it's just a one shot, it's still something.